You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I mean, we could really go into any sort of subject we want to. We could go into movies, video games, sports, or we could go into things that are just randomly happening. We could go on current events. We are your jack-of-all-trades podcast show.
We're Mr. Fix-It.
Yeah, we are the Mr. Fix-It.
I don't know what made me think of that.
Of podcast shows.
Doesn't it, in the song, does it say he's a jack-of-all-trades?
Yeah, I'm a jack-of-all-trades, yeah. Mr. Fix-It.
I fix good.
Yeah. From the Guitar Heroes 2 soundtrack.
Yeah, that's right.
Right off the top of the show, we're talking about video games because of Guitar Hero. I think I might have it, actually. Yes, I do. Gotta work an itchy cause of quality fades. Under your hood, I'm a jack of all trades. I'm Mr. Fix-It. This is you. It's another guy. Yeah, see, there it is, Mike.
Yeah.
We're the jack of all trades, Mr. Fix-It.
Right.
The Amazing Royal Crowns. That's the band.
Good stuff right there. Good stuff.
Woo! Boy, you're challenging me right off the bat here off with my music library.
I know. I'm sorry. It just popped into my head. You know why? Because I guess video games must be on my mind. But,
yeah. Well, we have a video game heavy segment for the entertainment entree later on in the show.
That's later in the show. For now, why don't we get into what we've been doing lately? Rich, how have you been?
I've been good. Over the weekend, I went out and saw the new movie Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, an action movie, right? How was that?
It was pretty good. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I've heard very little about it. It seems to come up out of nowhere.
Yeah, it had kind of no press until like the last couple of weeks when the first trailer came out.
Right.
The first feature trailer to come out for it.
Right, right.
It was very good. I would describe it as Groundhog Day meets The Matrix.
Well, those are two amazing movies. I love both those movies, so.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to describe it because, you know, this isn't really a spoiler or anything, but he wakes up the same day and he's fighting the same battle over and
right.
over again.
Yeah, that was shown in the trailer, I think. And that's what got me interested because out of nowhere, this trailer comes up. I'm like, wow, that looks really cool.
Yeah, and it was. I enjoyed it. You kind of think that it might be one of those throwaway Tom Cruise action movies.
Right.
But it wasn't. I liked it. I enjoyed it. And if you know what, if it comes on Netflix or DVD soon, I'll pick it up. It was pretty good.
So there you go. Something to look out for. Edge of Tomorrow, right?
Yep. Edge of Tomorrow.
Starring Tom Cruise.
And actually, I'll say this. I'm usually not a fan of 3D.
Oh, it's in 3D?
Yeah. You can see it in 3D, and yeah. I did. And it was actually awesome in 3D.
IMAX 3D or just regular 3D?
Regular 3D. I didn't see the IMAX 3D.
Well, those tickets are an arm and a leg.
Yeah,
so.
They are.
Oh, boy.
But the 3D experience was awesome, and I didn't get sick either. I don't know if it's the way the movie's shot.
That's interesting. Because, yeah, you really don't like 3D, do you?
Yeah, usually I get... I feel like dizzy afterwards.
That happens to a lot of people. That's the biggest complaint with 3D is that it makes people feel sick or dizzy or headache.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the actual way the movie is shot. But when I went and saw that movie, I wasn't sick afterwards. I enjoyed myself. It was a good time all around. I enjoyed it. Edge of Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I recommend it.
Wow, so some high praise for Tom Cruise's latest action movie. Speaking of movies, though, I actually saw... one from last year. I trying to catch up on some of the movies. I saw Saving Mr. Banks, the one about Walt Disney and Mary Poppins.
Oh yeah, that had some Oscar noms.
Yeah, Tom Hanks was very good as Walt Disney. It was a very poignant movie. With, and I was really surprised with the cinematography, actually. A lot of great shots and great framing. And a great behind-the-scenes story, I think, about how they made that classic Mary Poppins movie. A lot of stuff, I don't know how true it is, you know, to the actual history of events, but very interesting, and I think well worth it to give it a shot.
So. Yeah, that seemed like it would be a good movie. I'm surprised. Did it pick up any Oscar wins? I don't think it did.
I actually don't know if it did.
I know
did.
It was nominated, but I don't think it won any.
I'm pretty sure it was nominated for a few. Yeah, so I just looked it up, and it was nominated for one Academy Award, Best Original Score. I thought it would have had more than that, but picked up a couple of BAFTA awards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, Tom Hanks was nominated for Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
Not this.
You know, I keep confusing those two films. I don't know why. They're so different.
Well, because Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, yeah.
Yeah. Those are two pretty heavy hitter roles in the span of 1 year.
Yeah, Walt Disney and the captain of a ship overrun by pirates. That's pretty good stuff in 1 year for one actor.
Right.
But so, anyway, yeah. So there you go. Edge of Tomorrow and Saving Mr. Banks. Two movies to check out, right?
Yep. One available at your Redbox and one available at the movie theater right now.
That's right.
So there you go. We'd like to give you just a brief little update on what we've been up to and you know, what we think of some things that happened to us in the week since we were last on the air. But with that, now we can dive into some headlines. The first group of headlines that we'd like to cover is the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
Woo, sports!
All right. We love sports here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right.
We just love all sports. It's amazing.
Yeah, right?
The FIFA World Cup soccer tournament is starting this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we've been following soccer so closely, right?
Woo! Yeah, all right. Let's take a moment aside. In this aspect, both me and Mikey are completely 100% Americans on this. am I right?
You're absolutely right.
I just never found soccer that crazy. I don't know what the big fuss is.
I'm not saying it's not a good sport. I'm not saying that it's not the most popular sport in the world. It's just not for me. I can't explain it.
Yeah, well, personally for me, soccer combines two things that I'm not good at.
Uh-oh.
Kicking and running.
And they have to do it at the same time,
and you
too.
You have to do it at the same time.
Oh, man.
It's like
that's almost as bad as chewing gum and walking up the stairs at the same time.
Yeah, it's bad.
No, it's true.
I was never good at soccer.
I never played it myself. Yeah,
I watch soccer. I don't think it's that interesting.
You know what my problem
is? It's usually a low scoring game. I don't think it's that exciting.
That's my problem. You watch it for three, four hours, and the score is 1-1, and it ends in a tie.
Oh yeah, not to mention you hate ties.
And I hate ties.
Oh my gosh,
that and football are the only two sports. Football and the other football are the only two sports. You know, because I realized we were talking football with soccer. Football and the other football. Those are the only two sports that end in ties. And I guess now it makes sense.
There you go.
They're the same sport.
They're football.
Yeah, they're football.
Football and the other football.
Well, you know, we're even talking about football or the other football, whichever, depending on which side of the ocean you're on. Later in the sports sampler, but now that FIFA World Cup is out of the way, we have
you wanted to get out of that segment as fast as you could.
Soccer, like you said, we're both Americans in this case. We don't really follow soccer that
well.
Much.
Then let's live up to our American roots.
America.
All right, so there you go. That's our. I'm sorry, folks. It's just true. Me and Mike just didn't get into soccer, and I don't know why. It's just the way it is. We'll bring you the next update when I know the World Cup gets down to final four teams. I know that.
Yeah.
And then they play into semifinals, finals, and a bronze medal match.
Sure, I guess. I honestly know very little about it.
Damn it, Mike, I'm trying to bring some credibility here.
Oh, sorry. We just played the America song. I mean, like, how much credibility do we have now? America. America. America.
So there you go. That's our best soccer coverage.
And that's it. Yeah. That's all we got for soccer. Or football, as the other side of the ocean says.
Wow,
it.
Look at the expert here.
Yeah.
Football.
Hey, you took Italian and Spanish. You should know.
Yeah.
It's the biggest sport in the world.
Remember when we took Spanish and Italian classes in high school? Like,
yeah.
That was like its own chapter.
Yeah.
Soccer was its own chapter.
Yeah.
Not just like sports in general. Soccer is the chapter.
El football.
Like I'm sorry.
Football.
And I feel just so bad that I can't get into it because it's such a worldwide phenomenon.
It is the biggest sport. As much as we like to go on about football being so huge and so profitable, I mean, American football being so huge and so profitable, soccer just blows it out of the water.
Yeah.
Because the other 9/10 of the world. That's their number one sport.
Loves it.
Yeah.
Look at Brazil. They're going crazy over this.
Oh, yeah. Every country, that's their number one sport, except for the U.S.
Yep. America.
Yeah. Ours is the other football.
Yeah.
Is American football football or the other football?
That's up to you, Mike.
That's up to me? Okay.
Yeah. But there you go, our brief World Cup soccer coverage. Just wanted to let you know that if you're interested in soccer, the World Cup, starts this weekend. And you know what? I think the next update we'll do is when they're at the final four teams. Cause we just
never got into soccer.
I don't know why. I can get into golf.
Yeah, go figure.
But I can't get into soccer. Go figure.
And you know, a lot of soccer fans are going to be pissed about the next subject we're going to talk about. I mean, really pissed.
Are you ready for the subject that's going to bounce soccer out of the
sport? Yeah, the number one sport or this next subject. Go ahead, Rich.
All right. Well, folks, let's get into the next subject that will bounce the number one sport of the world off of the sports sampler. We need to talk about some horse racing.
And we're off talking about horse racing. Rich will lead off the segment with some facts, apparently.
Good job, Mike.
Thanks. I try. So, what about horse racing has us talking about it?
So, this is actually, I'm pretty sure we did not talk about this last year because I don't think there was a chance for a Triple Crown last year. So, I think this is the first time ever we're talking about horse racing.
Oh, yeah. I guess you're right.
And that's the reason why I bring it up. Over the weekend, we had the Belmont Stakes. And we had a chance at a Triple Crown winner, which that would have been the first Triple Crown winner since 1978's Affirmed won the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes.
Wow, so that's been a while, then.
Yeah, it's been a long while.
And so to win the Triple Crown, you have to win all three of those races. Was it the Prequel?
The Kentucky Derby.
The Kentucky Derby.
The Preakness.
The Preakness.
And then the Belmont Stakes.
Okay. So we had a horse this year that could have pulled that off.
Yeah, he won the Kentucky Derby, he won the Preakness, but it's always the Belmont Stakes.
Yeah, that's the one that tripped up the horse from Philly a couple years back, wasn't it?
That's right.
I can't remember the horse from Philly's name. But
it was Smarty Jones.
Oh, yeah. Smarty Jones.
Good old
that's
Smarty
right.
Jones, yeah.
So the horse in this case, California Chrome, didn't win the Triple Crown. But that's not all about this story, apparently.
Yeah. So here's the deal. For those that don't know anything about horse racing, let's bring you up to speed on this. All
right? Yes, please.
To win the quote-unquote Triple Crown, which is the most prestigious award you could achieve in the sport of horse racing, you have to win first the Kentucky Derby, which is a little shorter than normal size track. Then you have to win the Preakness Stakes, which is a very short course, actually.
Oh, okay.
And then you have to win the Belmont Stakes.
And that's the long one,
that's the longest.
Right.
And that's the one that usually trips horses up because that's really long. You really need to have stamina.
Yeah.
And you're you've just raced two other major races in the last month or so.
Right.
So usually the horses get fatigued at that point.
Right.
So it naturally, it's just tough. It is tough to win a Triple Crown race. That's why we haven't had a winner since 1978.
Yeah, almost what? Almost 40 years now, right? Something like that?
Yeah, so that's the goal. You have to try and win all three of these races. But, and this is where the controversy arises.
Okay.
As we know, California Chrome did not win the right. Belmont Stakes and is not a Triple Crown winner.
Right, disappointing.
Yep. We had Tonalist win the Belmont Stakes over the weekend. And the controversy arises because he was not present at the other two races.
Ooh.
This was just a horse that was fresh. He had rested the last couple of months, and he was ready to go.
Oh, boy. That's a bummer, don't you think?
Well, one person who definitely thinks it's a bummer is California Chrome's owner, who has been very vocal about the recent loss at Belmont.
Well, I bet he would be.
Yep. And you know what? I think I'm just going to let the clip speak for himself.
Oh, we got a clip?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have an audio clip.
Oh, I guess he's voicing his opinion.
Yep. So this is the owner of California Chrome who flipped out when he found out Tonalist was the winner of the Belmont Stakes, a horse that was not involved in any of the two previous races. All right, so let's play the clip.
For Steve Colburn and Perry Martin and all those with California Chrome, throughout it all, Steve, it's been an amazing ride. What were your thoughts as they turned for home?
Well, I thought he was gaining ground, but he didn't have it in him, apparently. You know what? He's been in three. This is his third very big race. These other horses, they always set them out. They set them out and try to upset the apple cart. I'll never see. I'm 61 years old, and I'll never see in my lifetime, I'll never see another Triple Crown winner because of the way they do this. It's not fair to these horses that have been in the game since day one. I look at it this way. If you can't make enough points to get in the Kentucky Derby, you can't run in the other two races.
So if you had your way, you would say you got to run the Triple Crown or you cannot come up in the Belmont and be a fresh horse.
That's right. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Because this is not fair to these horses that have been running their guts out for these people and for the people that believe in them. For have somebody to come up like, this is a coward's way out, in my opinion. This is a coward's way out.
So you think they came right after your horse and that was the plan, just like they have other potential Triple Crowns?
Exactly. Our horse had a target on his back. Everybody else lays out one, or they won't run in the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness. They'll wait until the Belmont. You know what? If you've got a horse, run him in all three. If you've got a horse that earns points to run in the Kentucky Derby, those 20 horses that start in Kentucky are the only 20 eligible to run in all three races. This is the coward's way out.
So, wow, there you go. Strong words coming from the owner of California Chrome, calling any horse that races in the Belmont Stakes after not participating in the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness as cowards.
You know what? I actually kind of agree.
Okay.
Because when he's saying that, I'm saying, you know what? Yeah, he's got a point. This is like the playoffs for horse racing. Okay? So imagine, because I'm not very creative, if you will, the football season. Imagine if all of a sudden, you know, your team goes 7-9. They don't make it in the wild card. They don't make it in the divisional. But then, aha, they get invited to the championship game. How's that fair?
So you're going to try and say it's like a playoff system?
Yeah, sort of. It's not an exact translation, but these three races make up the Triple Crown.
Right.
Right? And the Triple Crown, that's like winning the Lombardi Trophy or the Stanley Cup. That is the prize for horse racing. That's the pinnacle, if you will. So I don't know if it's fair to let horses race in that last race. If you're going to refer to all three races in one fell swoop as the Triple Crown, they should be regarded as one big continuous event, I think. Otherwise, break them up separately. Don't make it part of some larger prize. Because I think it is a little unfair, honestly.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
I think he's being a sore loser.
Okay, well, I definitely think he's being a sore loser.
I think he's coming off as a sore loser on this. And here's something that you have to keep in mind.
Okay.
The rules of the Triple Crown have not changed.
Okay.
This is the way it's been since 1919. The first Triple Crown winner, Sir Barton.
Okay.
All right. Why change the rules right now, all because you feel that this guy, you know, got screwed over and he's calling the other horses cowards? I'm sorry. The previous Triple Crown winners all did it with the same rules. They had to deal with fresh horses at the last Belmont race, and they won. I'm sorry. They were able to do it.
But how do you account for the drop-off in winners since 1978? I mean, apparently there had been...
Well, I think he is right that people are targeting whoever the favorite is at Belmont.
That is
probably a fair assessment.
I think so, too. I think maybe they do need a rule change. I mean, look, you haven't had a winner in 30-some years, your sport's getting boring. I mean...
Why? You don't think that's variety? You don't think it's a nice variety?
It's variety if it's not every year, but 36 straight years, that's like not naming a Super Bowl champion in 36 years.
Don't you think it would get stale if you had winners over and over again? I mean, and wait a minute, there have been periods where we've seen a lot of Triple Crown winners. The 70s had 1973 Secretariat, 1977 Seattle Slough, and 1978 Affirmed.
Okay.
So there have been periods where we've had
consistent winners. But that's not every year.
No, it's not.
It's like every other year.
Don't you think a Triple Crown winner should be a rarity?
Right, but not rare enough that it only happens once every half century. I mean, come on. Who's going to watch horse racing if you're never going to get to see one in your life?
Gamblers.
Okay, well, there you go.
Don't worry. People will still watch
people
horse
still
racing.
Watch it, yeah.
Do not worry about that, Mike.
I mean, people complain about the Eagles not winning a Super Bowl in the same amount of time, you know? It gets boring, frustrating after a while. I think people want to see a Triple Crown winner, especially if these horses go to...
People do.
And then lose the last one because of these horses that target them specifically in that last race.
But if you change the rules right now, don't you think that will kind of diminish the quality a little bit of what a Triple Crown winner is supposed to be?
No, because here's the thing. They still have to perform.
Well, then perform!
Well, but here's
perform! But don't care about the rules!
But it's offering an unfair advantage to the other horses.
Why? But all the horses in the past had to deal with this.
But we don't know, though. We really don't. We don't know if they were... No, because you said that it's... You said it's true. These people might be targeting these horses. We don't know.
Yeah, coming in at the end.
Yeah, we don't know to what degree that happened in the past. I'm not saying it was a more honorable time. I'm just saying we don't know for certain. But there has to be some reason that there's been such a steep drop-off. Not a drop-off. Zero. In 30-some years. I mean, it goes from two or three a decade to zero. Not one, zero. That's none. In 36, that's very, very strange to me.
All right. I would say it's more of a leveling of the talent, and that you can have independent promotions that can come in and race their horse. I'm going to be a purist on this.
A purist, really?
Yeah. I don't think you should. Yeah. Because all of the other Triple Crown winners did it. They did it the same exact way, and now all because poor California Chrome can't do it, and we have an owner that's a little bit more vocal than in past, people want to change the rules. I don't think so.
But are you to say that you can't refine a system? I mean, now that it seems like he's speaking up, what if this really is an epidemic, like he suggested, that they're specifically targeting him? Doesn't that sort of water down the sport? Like you say... You know, you say if you implement these rules to change it, that would, you know,
I think
the victory. But doesn't this also lessen the integrity of the sport?
If you have
people specifically gunning for these horses that are trying to accomplish something amazing,
no,
just to be a spoil sport.
No, you play to win. You have to deal with the challenges that are presented with you. That's what makes sports great.
You play to win, but you can't jump in at the last third of a race. Look, just because something was allowed before, they put cocaine in Coca-Cola. Should we go back to that? Should we be a purist?
Yes, let's go back to cocaine in my Coca-Cola.
I'm just saying, sometimes things need to change. I really don't care that much about horse racing. But, you know, it would be nice to see a Triple Crown winner. And, you know...
You're going to adjust the rules just so you can please whatever the mass people want?
No, not to please them, but to make a more level playing field, because now it appears that people are using the rules to be the, you know, people, you accused him of being a sore loser. These other people are being spoil sports. They're doing it just to, they're trolling. This is real life trolling. That's what it
real
is.
Real life trolling.
That's exactly what it is. Some horse owner's going, hey, 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 watch this. That's exactly what's going on. That to me, that's kind of scummy.
Well, I don't know. I am a firm believer that, you know, what makes sports, if horse racing is a sport, what makes sports great is that you have to defy the challenges that are presented on you. And if you can't do it, then you can't do it.
Then don't call it the Triple Crown.
What do you want? I'm just saying
it seems ludicrous to me to have a tournament that you can enter two-thirds of the way in. Don't call it the Triple Crown then. Just break them up and make them individual races.
But yeah, you don't win the Triple Crown though if you
right. Get rid of it then. Why are you going to allow competitors in two-thirds of the way through the competition? That seems ludicrous to me.
Because it's horse racing.
That is ridiculous. You can't just say, oh, two-thirds of this is over, but sure, come on in and race. Don't call it the Triple Crown. Get rid of the Triple Crown. If you want them to be individual races, make them individual races. If you want them to be one thing aiming for one goal, then make it one series of events.
I mean, you can go with that, but I say the this is the system that has been built. This is the system that has worked. This is the way we judged horses in the past. I would say that if you make a rule change, I say it lessens the actual prestigiousness of it being a Triple Crown winner. And I feel like the owner's being a sore loser. You should have just had the horse play to win the game. Thank you very much.
This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out. This whole conversation bothers me.
Yeah, this whole conversation bothers me.
Well,
I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go in that Belmont race and you try and win.
I guess, you know, I agree with him being a sore loser, but I guess it just comes down to what side of the fence you fall on, whether you think you should stand by rules regardless of how outdated they are or whether you need to change to accommodate different trends in your sport. So, I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, not everything works across centuries. You know, that's I'm all for if it makes it better, and I guess the debate comes about whether it actually makes the sport better. But my argument is that, you know, you have to change with the times. If it makes it better, then you have to at least consider it.
All right. Well, then there you go. Maybe horse racing will consider it, but I hope for the sake of past Triple Crown winners that that's not the case, because I feel like that would be. I feel like you'd have to make like a new Triple Crown then. It's because you're not playing by the same rules as it was in the past.
I disagree. I think that really doesn't matter. But I guess that's where we disagree.
Yeah, and that's why sometimes we have these debates. Boy, for us not knowing,
I know, for us not knowing anything about horse racing, I could care less. But
yeah,
unicorns, show ponies. Where's the beef?
Before the Belmont Stakes, that was all we knew about horse racing.
That's not even about horse racing.
It's not. It's about football.
He mentioned unicorns, show ponies, and a Wendy's commercial. There's no horse racing at all in there.
Unicorns, show ponies, where's the beef?
That's all we knew.
So we knew even less than we thought we knew yeah. about horse racing.
Yeah. And that was said about a football game.
So,
well, you know what?
Bottom line is, don't listen to us when it comes to horse racing.
Yeah. All right, because the best we can do is an old football clip. And that's a perfect tie-in for our next segment. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' football.
Yeah, it's perfect timing because we got an update on some football news in the off season, and we like to keep you abreast with these news stories. So what is the update?
Well, first, a very important update for our own hometown Eagles, an important signing. Marcus Smith, our first-round pick, has agreed to a 4-year deal with the Eagles.
Woo! All right, good.
Yeah.
So that means all the draft picks are signed then, right?
All the draft picks are signed. We're good to go.
No holdouts.
Yeah, no holdouts. And I think they wrapped up business pretty quickly this year.
Yeah.
Quicker than most years, I think. At least it seems that way.
Right.
Yeah, but the details of the deal are currently unavailable. They haven't said how much it's worth, but we locked him in for 4 years. So there you go. One positive to look forward to with the Eagles. But there's been another bigger signing that I think everyone is more interested in. And that refers to, of course, San Francisco quarterback Colin Kaepernick signing a 6-year deal worth $110 million.
Sit your $5 ass down before I make change.
Yeah.
Wow.
There you go. Sit down.
Yeah.
Sit your $5 ass down before I make change.
A record-breaking $61 million guaranteed. I mean, he has more guaranteed money than most players have in their total contract.
Yes. Yes. You're the man now, dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is
Colin
the man.
Kaepernick is the man now, dog.
Well, you know,
lunch is on him.
It's interesting you bring that up because this brings me to sort of a spinoff topic. This puts Colin Kaepernick amongst the top 10 highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. And I want to ask you, Rich, is he a top 10 quarterback to deserve that type of money? It's a tough question, isn't it?
It is tough, but you know what? I think overall the answer is going to be yes, because he also has potential. He's still very young in his quarterback career, which really makes it advantageous to lock him up to a 6-year contract. Because over the course of those 6 years, you should be able to grow him into an elite quarterback. And he's already led the 49ers to one Super Bowl. He came up just one game short last year. If things would have maybe gone, you know, some breaks would have gone the 49ers' way, maybe they would have been in that Super Bowl. Hell, that NFC Championship game was the Super Bowl last year.
Oh, yeah.
Not the actual Super Bowl.
Isn't that what Richard Sherman said or somebody said?
Yeah, somebody said that. That 49ers versus Seahawks game was the Super Bowl,
that
as
was.
Far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah, because the Super Bowl sucked.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest.
Very deep into the playoffs, and he didn't perform bad in either of those two games. It's just...
No, he didn't.
Yeah, things just kind of didn't go the 49ers' way, and that's not his fault. Season-wise, he's usually pretty accurate. He doesn't do a whole lot of interceptions, as far as I remember. And he loves the scramble. That's very exciting. That's great with an exciting fan base. He's a crush among female fans. I know that.
yeah, I guess so.
You know,
I
don't see a downside into locking him up for 6 years. Was it a little bit too much guaranteed money? Yes, that is way too much guaranteed money for anybody to have.
Yeah.
But you know what? Top 10 quarterback, I would put him, I would say he's around like a 10 or a 9 or an 8 as of right now.
See, I don't know. I'm a little split on whether he's a top 10 quarterback because
he's not in the elite realm
no,
yet.
No, he's not elite, no.
But I would say he's floating around 10, 9.
I'd say he's getting up there. In terms of rating, he had a 107 quarterback rating last year, which is...
That's awesome.
That's phenomenal. But I don't know. I'm a little uncertain because I don't know if he does the same thing that the other quarterbacks do. You know, he has average stats, I would say. 3,000 yards, 21 touchdowns. Certainly there's more elite quarterbacks. But the main thing that I have an issue with is he's so young. He's only been in the league 3 years.
Right.
And you give $110 million to a 3-year quarterback who really has only been playing 2 years. His first year, he didn't do anything according to the stat sheet. And also you mentioned he's rushing, he's exciting, but doesn't that also put him at risk of injury?
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been able to stand in the pocket and really be a quote unquote classic pocket quarterback. So,
but I mean, that's not his style though.
But $61 million guaranteed for a quarterback that plays very recklessly, similar to a former Philadelphia Eagle quarterback.
Uh-oh.
I mean, remember the crap storm we had here when we gave Vic $100 million, and ultimately that turned out to be not so great of an idea. But very reminiscent. Colin Kaepernick is a better quarterback than Mike Vick ever was.
Right.
Let me get that straight. But... very similar situation, I think. He had a breakout year. He performed very well. But I don't know if that's enough basis to give him $110 million. I mean, yes, you want to lock up your early players, but I just don't see him as top 10 yet. He really hasn't proven himself. Yes, he did a lot in those first 2 years, but longevity is a huge part of the NFL. I don't know if he has it, and he really hasn't proven to be a mainstay in the league yet, with only 2 years starting.
I think we're both in agreement, though. That is way too much guaranteed.
Yeah,
money.
Way too much. I mean, Colin Kaepernick is really a great quarterback.
Right.
I'm not disagreeing there.
Right.
But maybe 80 to 90 million, great. Not 110 million. Great.
And six, was it 60?
61 million
61
guaranteed.
That's
more than some quarterbacks are making.
Sit your $5 ass down before I make change.
It worries me a little bit. I mean, he hasn't really been injured up to this point, but again, he's only started 1.5 years. Because that first season, I'm looking at the stat sheet here, it says he only started 7. He played in 13, but he only started 7. Mm-hmm. So...
Oh, yeah, that was the whole Alex Smith, Kaepernick debacle.
So you're giving him 110 based on a year and a half. Just, it seems like a stretch to me.
Well, we'll see how he fares in the upcoming season and seasons now that Now that he's locked in with the 49ers for a 6-year contract.
And he's got to perform those 6 years. He's got to justify the price tag, I think.
Yeah. But, whew, that is a lot.
That is a lot.
Sit your $5 ass down before I make change.
All right, and we got one more football headline, I believe.
That's right. Just something quick and fun to wrap up the football news. It actually has to do with what we're going to be getting into later in the episode. It's about a video game, oddly enough. Seattle Seahawks cornerback Richard Sherman was voted as the Madden NFL 15 cover athlete.
That was a heck of an effort, and that puts him in third and manageable, and now he has to manage it.
So Madden is going to be, like, talking about Richard Sherman?
I guess so.
Oh, dear God.
Boom, 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 boom. They just ran right at him. He not only rambled, but he rumbled and stumbled.
Excellent commentary.
But he rumbled and stumbled, yep.
Boom, 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 boom. They just ran right at him. He not only rambled, but he rumbled and stumbled.
All right, but what is the what's the deal with Sherman being on the cover?
Right, well, the fans voted him as the cover athlete, but he said that he wants to appear with the entire Legion of Boom.
Boom, 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 they just ran right at him. He not only rambled, but he rumbled and stumbled.
I would like to see all that in one headline.
Yeah.
The Legion of Boom, Boom, Boom.
Yeah, I would love to see that as well, you're right.
So what's the problem?
Well, EA doesn't put the 4 players on the cover. That's the problem. He said, I've been trying to get the Legion of Boom on the cover and EA has been fighting me.
Fighting?
That's his words. I don't know what EA,
fighting?
I don't know.
Wow.
He goes on to say, so if everybody wants to start a petition to get the Legion of Boom on the cover, here it is. Here's an open invitation.
Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me, too. I mean, it's strange to me, too.
Allen Iverson feels his plight, I guess.
I guess so. So what do you think? First off, do you think EA could put the entire Legion of Boom? Well, they could,
yeah.
But do you think they should?
They should. Why not? If that's what Richard Sherman wants, yeah.
Yeah, so you just say, yeah, sure?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm actually in agreement with this for once in the sports sample.
Yeah, we've been disagreeing a lot.
Which usually doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I don't know why EA wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
it seems it'd be a great marketing stunt, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and then you could put like in big letters "Legion of Boom."
You know what?
Yeah, it would be
you know
awesome.
What? Since video game developers love this pre-order bonus crap, they could do a pre-order bonus "Legion of Boom" edition.
But yeah,
oh my gosh, do you know how many people would pre-order that? And
all of Seattle would.
Oh yeah, and maybe they could, you know, make a special edition and charge an extra $10. There you go, Madden.
Oh my gosh.
There you go, EA. You owe
Perfect.
Me for that one.
You're right, Mike. Yeah, just something like
Why
that.
Why the hell aren't I a marketing exec?
Why the hell doesn't EA listen to us? We need to call up EA immediately.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Yeah. Well,
wow, there's bringing it back.
Yeah, EA. Well, we're going to be calling your phone soon and pitching your Legion of Boom edition idea, because that's a good one. I like that, Mike.
Thank you.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
So get on that.
Yeah. So it seems pretty simple, right? Richard Sherman said he couldn't have gotten there without his Legion of Boom teammates. He wants them on the cover. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why EA would be fighting.
Again, those are his words, so I don't know. You know, he does have a way with words, as we all learned.
That is true.
But yeah, I don't know why EA would resist this. It seems like a great idea, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't want to because the fans voted and they didn't vote those other players, but the hell with the fans. I'm serious. Sometimes, look, I once read an article where a video game developer said, if we did everything the fans wanted us to in our games, it would be completely unplayable because the fans are so demanding. They demand the most ridiculous things. So sometimes you got to do what's best for the game. And in this case, you should just put the Legion of Boom on the cover.
Yeah, you know, make everybody happy. And who would not be happy? As opposed to Richard Sherman.
Broncos fans, maybe.
Well, you stop being sore losers.
Yeah.
That's my message. Between the California Chrome owner and all this other pansy stuff, stop being a sore loser. You lose, man up, say you lost. Jeez.
That's right.
All these people, come on.
Yeah, I don't know if the Broncos fans are sore losers, but
they are if they're the ones that take offense to this.
Yeah, but honestly, I mean, I was, you know, joking around. I don't know if they actually would take offense to this. It seems something ridiculous to take offense to, you know?
All of Denver refuses All of Denver, to buy Madden.
The entire city. They refuse to accept shipments of the game to their local game stores.
What happened to Madden?
All the GameStop's like, no, get it out of here.
What happened to Madden 15 this year? We don't sell that kind here.
There is no Madden 15.
Yeah.
Just an interesting note here. I just took a little poll on ESPN.com that asks the same question. And 77% say they should put the entire Legion of Boom on the cover.
Thank you.
I want to know where that 23% though is.
The EA Denver employees and Denver
EA employees and Denver.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. So it seems pretty simple there. They should all go on the cover.
Yeah. Come on. That's one thing we agree with here on the Sports Sampler.
Yes, finally.
Yeah, I'll take that. Woo! That's a lot of talking we had to go through in the Sports Sampler.
Yeah, and a lot of disagreements too.
Yeah, so
friendly disagreements.
Right.
Of course.
So I think we need to take a little bit of a break to calm ourselves down. But don't go anywhere, because we've got a loaded entertainment entree with video game headlines from E3. And we've got a side dish.
Ooh.
Yeah, how do you like that?
I like that.
So don't go anywhere. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings with top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles.
Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2014. Aruga. Boom. In your face. Ha ha.
Are you in the market for a quality used car? Have problems trusting fly-by-night used car dealerships? Check out Ken Nolan's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales. Ken has been in business for almost 30 years, selling cars not only to people all over the Philadelphia area, but now worldwide thanks to our website at www.plymouthmeetingautosales.com. At Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, we have cars for all size wallets, inexpensive cars under $3,000, to classic cars and even dump trucks. Stop on in. That's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, 1215 Ridge Pike, Conshohocken, PA, or call 610-828-4427.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and we're coming at you right here. Boy, we took a little bit of a break with that, a commercial segment.
Yeah.
And I have to update you guys on just a couple of things that have been going on. I was about to say backstage, like we're at backstage, a concert. Yeah. We're live here at the concert.
Yeah, backstage in my kitchen.
Yeah.
We went from the kitchen to the living room.
Whoa, very exciting news.
Yes.
That's right. This is the only podcast you'll hear that we put all the equipment inside Mike's kitchen and we just go. We don't record at some fancy studio.
No, yeah, this is dining room acoustics right here.
Yeah.
Top of the line recording studio.
Yeah, you might hear dishwasher go off in the bathroom.
We've had that a couple of times.
Yes, we have. But you know what? We just run with it. That's what makes the Crispy Noodle Podcast your Philly homegrown podcast.
That's right.
Perfect.
Yes.
All right. Now, this is what I wanted to update everybody
okay.
on.
Okay.
Before we jump into the entertainment entree, which is usually the next part of the show, I'm actually going to spin off into a side dish. Woo! Side dish!
Now, this is an extra special treat because, from what I understand, obviously, usually we do the side dish after the entertainment entree.
And usually if we do this, we do it after one of our big segments. We usually don't lead into...
Right.
We don't start off with a side dish.
Yeah.
I figured that since this is an update on something that happened on last week's show, I figured we should knock this out of the way before we head into the heavy hitter E3 announcement in our entertainment entree.
Right. So this is a side dish with an update.
Right.
That's very strange. We don't do updates in side dishes usually.
Not usually.
That's why I'm intrigued.
Yep. For those that caught last week's show, you remember I gave you all a very important tip to start your day.
A life lesson, really.
Right. To start your day with coffee.
Yes, and you said that it could save lives as well.
Yes. For those that didn't catch last week's episode, shame on you.
And wow, shaming the fans now.
Come on, you should have been up. Come on, you had a week.
That's true. They had a week.
But you know what? I'm not a prick. So we'll play what I said last week to give you an idea of the context that we're talking about here. The story was last week that a volunteer ambulance worker had his carbon monoxide detector on him, and after work, he decided to have his morning cup of coffee.
Right.
And so he walked in after work, and he goes to order his cup of coffee, and the carbon monoxide detector went off. Turned out there was an actual carbon monoxide leak in the restaurant that he got the coffee from. He saved everybody's lives.
So there you have it. Coffee saves lives.
Yes, that was my logical conclusion.
Of course.
And then I go off on a little tangent about how the state of coffee has kind of, I think, went downhill since the whole Keurig thing.
Right.
The one cup Keurig thing. I miss the days of regular coffee pots and making a pot of coffee.
Right. You went on this big spiel.
Right.
As we normally do on this show.
Right. So now with...
Do you have the clip you said?
Yeah. Now without further ado, let me play said rant about the coffee pot. So let's play it so we're all in context here. That's Professor Liebig here.
Professor Liebig.
Have your morning cup
of coffee. Coffeeology 101.
Yes.
What's the first lesson in Coffeeology 101?
Use a coffee pot.
Use a coffee pot.
But I don't know. I'm actually kind of getting a little sick of this Keurig stuff.
Yeah?
I don't know. It's just weird.
You like the old-fashioned coffee
pot? Yeah, I like my old-fashioned coffee pot because you make like four...
Do you like the one on the stove or do you like the drip ones?
I like both of them.
Both of them?
But like... You make like four cups of coffee, and then you have enough for friends. And,
right, right.
You know?
Well, the thing with the Keurig is that you can make it on demand whenever you want. It only takes a couple of seconds.
But you know, why do that? Make a nice pot of coffee and invite friends over.
You can still invite friends over with the Keurig.
Yeah, but then you got to do the little tiny cup, and you know, do you want the hazelnut? Do you want the decaf? Do you want the French roast? No.
Well, what do you got against hazelnut and French roast?
No, come on. You brew one cup, you brew one pot of coffee, everyone enjoys the coffee. It's a community thing,
Look,
damn
Rich,
it.
Not everybody drinks two pots of coffee at once like you do.
Well, you know, that's nice.
It's nice.
I don't know. Whatever. Stupid. The French vanilla cup. No, get the hell out of here. All right, so there you go. That is what I said last week on the podcast.
Oh, man. Even though we said it, I'm cracking up listening to us.
All right, well, unfortunately, I've made an enemy out of this.
You made an enemy?
Yes.
What do you mean you've made an enemy?
I know. How do you like that? I've made an enemy out of this rant. Apparently,
I'm really, this is very, very, very interesting.
Yep. Apparently my rationalization of having the pot of coffee be a community-based a thing with friends, I don't know. I thought that was nice and heartwarming. I don't know. I thought that was very nice.
It was nice, yeah.
Well, guess what?
What?
Literally, I am not making this up. This is a true clip posted the Thursday after we broadcasted the show.
Okay.
Glenn Beck.
What?
Decided to go on his own rant about coffee, and I guess me and Glenn Beck are never going to have a cup of coffee ever again.
Wow. What did he say?
Well, I've got the clip loaded up. Let's play it.
When I first got into radio, and I'll never forget, my father used to drink Folgers coffee. And when you would go to work, you would have somebody would get up in the morning and they would open up the pot and they would make it just like this. And that's what everybody went to the coffee pot, and everybody had exactly the same cup of coffee. Now, the government will tell you that this is fine, that this is good, but you know differently. And how do I know that? Are we a collective or an individualist society? This is what is in our break room. Oh, you want French vanilla? Or do you like the donut shop coffee? Or maybe you like the caramel coffee? Or this is, I'm from Seattle, Pike Place Roast. You like that one? There's also mocha latte. There's all kinds of different teas. There's the English breakfast tea. There's green tea. Or do you want hot cocoa? Or do you want the Nantucket blend? Which do you want? You could have any of these. Or we could go back to the collectivist and just you can have this really crappy instant coffee, or this one that doesn't, it just has a flavor that everybody kind of tolerates and kind of likes. Or you could have one that you love and brew it one cup at a time. This is the free market.
Wow.
Wow.
Glenn Beck, apparently.
Do you want to be a collectivist society?
I apparently am a communist, I guess.
Yeah, Rich, you are a communist for wanting coffee.
For me wanting.
Get out of here, you communist.
For me wanting a nice pot of coffee to enjoy with friends.
Didn't I call you a communist once? I just remember, didn't we do something like that before?
Where you called me a communist?
Yeah, didn't.
I don't think so.
No, I definitely think. I'm going to have to look back through our old episodes. I definitely think that there was. I definitely remember that.
I want to know the previous time you think you called me a communist now.
I don't know. Or maybe a socialist. I don't know which it was.
Or socialist, communist, whatever. Yeah.
But anyway.
Go back to Europe, whatever you are. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. But anyway, so apparently, yes, apparently Glenn Beck thinks you're a communist now. Because
I know. Go figure.
Okay, so one, my biggest problem with this clip is that he's associating drinking from a coffee pot as being somehow inherently collectivist, which is somehow inherently bad. Why is being a collectivist culture bad? I'm not going to get into politics too much, but I can see where he's getting about everybody, you know, wants their own thing. And that's nice that people can choose tea if they want tea, or if they want some different type of coffee, they can choose it. But I also see your point, Rich, and I'm going to get a little sappy here, but bear with me. The thing with the coffee pot is you're right. It is a nice thing to gather around. It is going and making the coffee and sitting around and drinking coffee and... Yes, yes, yeah, seriously.
It's making you sad.
Not sad, it's making me reminisce over the old times. Simpler days with one choice of coffee.
Back in the good old days.
Back in the good old days. But no, I'm serious though. You know, it brings people together. Now, I guess Glenn Beck thinks that's a bad thing. Because a coffee pot is collectivist and communist, apparently.
But, whoops.
And Keurig is the pinnacle of freedom and democracy, I guess.
Apparently. I guess so. I never knew that.
I never knew that either.
America. America. Yeah. Coming again to save
That's pretty funny, though.
I can't. Yeah, he mentioned literally that clip is from Thursday after we had our show on Wednesday.
See, we were ahead of the times. We talked about coffee first.
Yeah, how do you like that? There we go. We were ahead of Glenn Beck. Take that, The Blaze, whatever his whatever his network is called or whatever. I don't know.
I have no idea.
So I thought that was hilarious. Literally 24 hours after, well, not literally 24 hours because his show's in the afternoon, so.
Whatever. It's like 16 hours.
16 hours?
I don't know.
The next day.
The next day. That's the point.
He talked about coffee. Maybe he's stealing from us.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, because we played some of his clips.
Yeah.
And now he's pissed at us. Because that's what it is.
Now he's like commenting on things that we talk about.
Watch him comment about like
coffee again. Or the horse racing.
The horse racing,
he'll go off on horse. All right. New rule.
Oh, God.
All right. We'll find out. All right. If Glenn Beck talks about horse racing and if, I don't know, the freedom of horse racing or whatever.
The freedom of horse racing. You know who's not free is the horses.
Yeah. If he talks about that on Thursday or Friday of this week, then he's listening to us. And we need to talk
That's
to
either
him.
A very good thing or a very bad thing. I can't tell you.
Yeah, but we'll find out.
We'll
get to the bottom of this.
Watch him talk about everything we've talked about so far.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
So, we don't like soccer anymore either.
Well, soccer is from collectivist cultures, Rich. You know that.
Yeah.
They're all playing on the field together? Passing the ball to and from? I don't think so. We're individuals here. We slam dunk. We hit home runs by ourselves. Not together. Team sports. Try communist sports.
America. America.
Yep, there
see,
you go.
See, Mr. Beck. We can sling hyperbole with the best of them, can't we?
Yeah. Hyperbole off.
Yeah. Rhetoric and hyperbole.
Glenn Beck versus Michael Costanzo coming soon.
Oh, all of our conservative-leaning listeners are going to be pissed.
Well, you know, we're not attacking his politics.
It was just a ridiculous thing to talk about.
But, like, it's weird how I mentioned specifically how I like the coffee pot better than Keurig.
And then he mentions he likes the Keurig better than the coffee
and
pot.
And he mentions it 16 hours later in a political rant. How did that happen?
That's very strange.
Yeah.
Because no political pundit would all of a sudden start talking about coffee pots.
Right.
It just seems very strange.
So, Mr. Beck, if you're listening, at least come on our show.
Yeah, or throw us a shout out or something.
And let us have a cup or a pot of coffee, whatever the hell is going
on. You guys
work.
Can argue about it on the show.
Yes, and we'll
the great debate.
Oh my God.
It's just two people screaming. Yeah. It's just two people screaming at the top of their lungs. One going
coffee
pot, Keurig, coffee pot, Keurig.
Oh my God. So there you go. That is our update and the random side dish I had to throw into the mix this week, because I couldn't believe it.
That's amazing.
He did it literally the next day.
I'm so glad you brought that up. That is awesome.
So
that was a side dish.
Yeah. So if you're listening to us, Mr. Beck, come on the show. We'll have some coffee, and we'll discuss
coffee.
Which coffee is more patriotic or whatever the hell that was. All right, now let's get back to our regularly scheduled program after all that. And finally, let's get into the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Bird. I am the great Leon.
All right. And it's time for the entertainment entree, and that clip was from Star Fox 64, which is a video game, and therefore it's time for nothing but video games in our E3 wrap-up. Yep, so we got a video game heavy entertainment entree because we got to wrap up everything about E3.
That's right. I don't know, what is it? Two symbols. E3. That's all that matters right now.
Yep. Do you want to lead off on this, Mike?
Yeah, sure. For anybody that doesn't know, E3, probably by the time you listen to this, we'll be wrapping up. But for those that don't know, E3 is the Electronic Entertainment Expo. It's the biggest video game event of the year. This is when all the major publishers and developers make all their announcements, reveal everything, and get people hyped up for the video games coming out later this year and next year. This is what video gamers look forward to all year long, to see some of their favorite games showed off and to hear what's new in the industry.
Yeah, to put it in shorter words, E3 is essentially the Super Bowl of video game announcements.
Yes, it is. And it is treated like a competition because people always say who won E3.
Yeah.
Which, you know, maybe we can get into that later. But for now, I think it's a good idea to go over some of the big announcements, reveals, and moments from the conference. What do you think, Rich?
Yeah, that sounds good. Let's dive in.
All right. So first up, I figure we'll start with Microsoft because, to be fair, I'm not that much of a Microsoft fan, honestly. Never really played that much Xbox. But Microsoft, I think, had the best conference because they focused on games, games, games. Yes, they get an achievement for that.
There you go. Nice little achievement award there.
They came out and they featured over 20 games in their press conference, as opposed to last year when they talked about TV and sports and the Kinect. This year, they didn't mention Kinect at all, Rich.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a 180.
That is a 180 instead of a 360. But they came out and they made some big announcements, some big reveals. One of the big ones, of course, is the Halo Master Chief Collection. They're putting all four Halo games into one bundle for the Xbox One. The big news there is that gamers can play any multiplayer map online from any of the previous four titles. So that's a very big announcement for Xbox fans, a truly great experience for them. Yes, another achievement.
There you go.
Oh, that's another. They made a big point about saying that it would have all the achievements for all the games as well. So
there you go.
Extra achievement for them. But they also made some really big reveals. They revealed Rise of the Tomb Raider, which is the sequel to the Tomb Raider reboot from last year, one of the more popular games. They also revealed co-op campaign gameplay for Assassin's Creed. I know Assassin's Creed is not really up your alley, Rich.
Yeah.
Because of all the stealth.
Yeah, I'm not usually a stealth gamer.
Yeah, but co-op for stealth games sounds very risky but very fun as well. You can play with four players online, all working together through the campaign. It looks like a blast.
I do love co-op, though.
Co-op is a lot of fun.
I like being on missions with friends. I think that's pretty cool.
So maybe if it gets good scores, could I convince you to buy a copy and play online co-op?
Maybe.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
I know that's...
Is there any chance I can switch that sword out for like a rocket launcher?
A rocket launcher? In the French Revolution, you want a rocket launcher.
Yeah, why not?
By the way, it's set during the French Revolution.
I didn't know that. I don't play these games. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Can I just have Orson Welles instead?
Maybe Orson Welles will be in the game.
Yes. Give me Orson Welles. Thank you.
Yeah, you can play Orson Welles. I'll play Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
But the biggest thing that Microsoft showed was something we talked about recently a couple weeks ago when they had the announcement trailer, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
Ah.
Of course, we're both very excited because Kevin Spacey is going to be in it, right?
Right.
Not only that, but it looks like they're focusing more on the story and they're changing up some gameplay mechanics, which they showed off in the demo some really cool new ideas, futuristic weapons, new movement abilities. They had these like thruster packs where they could like jump up onto like really high objects, so it makes the battlefield more vertical. Really cool stuff. What do you think? Could this be your first Call of Duty?
I think it could. But I'm a story guy.
Right.
So if the story is awesome, and you know what? Kevin Spacey's on it.
Kevin Spacey is going to do a good job.
He doesn't choose crappy projects. He likes doing projects that he believes has, some sense of
worth.
artistic worth. Yeah. So I think it might be my first foray into Call of Duty.
Also, just to push you over the edge, our good one of our favorite voice actors, Troy Baker, is in it as well.
Oh man, Troy Baker's getting his hand in everything.
He's in everything. He's actually in a couple other games announced at this E3, which is incredible.
Busy man.
Yeah, busy guy. But Call of Duty Advanced Warfare looks really, really good with a completely new engine overhaul, brilliant graphics, great new gameplay. I got to say, this is the first one I'm looking forward to in quite some time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no Kevin Spacey at E3.
Maybe he's filming. Yeah, you know what? He's probably filming House of Cards.
Season 3.
That's probably it.
And besides, E3 doesn't really seem like his cup of tea.
Yeah.
I couldn't picture Kevin Spacey at E3, could you?
Yeah.
But Microsoft, I think, did a phenomenal job with a lot of awesome announcements and presentations. But next up, we're going way back to one of the classic developers. Of course, we're talking about Nintendo. Nintendo had a very strange conference. They had a digital event. It wasn't actually a conference. It was a digital video that I think they pre-recorded. And they had Robot Chicken-style sketches interspersed throughout it. It was very strange, little comedy bits. But that aside, they did make some really cool announcements. One would be the new feature to put custom created characters into Super Smash Bros. Wii U with something called Mii Fighters.
There's a common enemy! Kill him! Uh-oh, there's Mike's character.
Yeah.
That's your victory you're saying right before you hit your finisher. There's a common enemy. Kill him.
I would love that. I figured I would bring this up because I know you love to create characters.
Yeah, I do.
In video games.
I love to create characters. I love customization.
Yeah. And
so this is right up my alley.
They showed some really powerful stuff. They showed they made Miis of two developers. They made a Mii of Abraham Lincoln. I mean, that's awesome stuff right there.
There's a common enemy. Kill him.
Yeah, we can all gang up on Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
But
I have your victory music.
Praise the glorious leader. You know what? I did not see that at E3 though, in all the press conferences, unfortunately.
That's what I would envision your victory slogan would be.
Yes. Praise the glorious leader.
Oh, and if you lose,
curse you technology.
I might have to go buy a Wii U and make
just
a fighter.
So we can create Mike as a Mii fighter.
That would be great. And you know what? They showed off all the different classes. You can choose your Mii to be either a brawler, a swordsman, or a gunner that has a rocket launcher arm, Rich.
Oh, there you go. Perfect for me.
There you go.
All right. Okay.
Is that what your victory thing would be?
No, that's right before I press the button. Uh-huh. that's right before I hit my finisher. All right. Okay.
It's like, which button is it again? Oh, the one with the skull and crossbones.
Yeah. All right. Okay. There you go.
So, Mii Fighter, something to look forward to with Super Smash Bros. Wii U.
Oh, you also have one more victory saying.
In your face! Ha ha!
Wow.
That fits perfectly.
That is perfectly.
In your face. Ha ha.
If only Nintendo would allow you to put in sound clips, that would be amazing.
Yeah, come on. What, you don't have 80 clips of yourself, people, video gamers? No.
No, they're not hardcore gamers.
Yeah,
like we
obviously.
Yeah.
In your face. Ha ha.
I should start playing online more and just play that whenever I win something.
Yeah.
Which probably wouldn't be very often,
let's be
honest.
Victory music.
Yeah.
In your face! Ha ha!
right. What else? What else did Nintendo announce?
Well, you know what? I'm gonna skip right ahead to this one because I know you. Again, with the creating stuff, they announced a Mario level editor called Mario Maker.
Wow!
So you can make your own Mario levels.
Uh oh.
Complete with bad guys and blocks and puzzles and
doors.
I don't know about doors. It's a Time Splitters reference, yeah. People. But
I love to create custom characters and custom levels.
And
so
you're
that is right up my alley.
And you're a classic gamer too.
Yeah,
like, you played the Mario games, right?
Yes, I did. I grew up on Mario.
So there you go, right up your alley. But here's the thing: I don't know if that's enough to go out and buy a Wii U.
Not yet.
Maybe down the line, but not yet. Maybe when this game comes out. Of course, I'm talking about Star Fox for Wii U.
No way! I don't believe it!
Yes, it's true. Gosh. They're bringing back Star Fox.
Can't let you do that, Star Fox.
Unfortunately, they didn't reveal any details, but just the fact that they're making one, that's got to have you excited. Obviously,
yeah.
By all the clips you have.
Star Fox is one of my favorite series.
Yeah.
So, if they make a good Star Fox game for Wii U, I might have to go get it.
Now, they say that they use the gamepad as a first-person cockpit view for the fighter. I don't know what that would entail, whether motion controls or not, but it might be interesting to see that done.
Yeah, I mean, if it works, it works. That's what matters.
Right. It all comes down to whether it works or not.
Yeah.
If it works for the gameplay, great. If it impedes gameplay, don't do it.
And please, please, there has to be a mention of this.
Do a barrel roll. To barrel roll, press V or R twice.
I don't care
they
how.
They have to. They
I
have
don't care
to.
How. It has to get in there somehow. it could be a random point. I don't care, but that has to be in there at some point.
Do a barrel roll. To barrel roll, press V or R twice.
I agree. That should definitely be in there.
Do a barrel roll.
I don't know if they have a Z button, though. They could always change
it. It's all right. Just do a barrel roll.
Do a barrel roll.
Do a barrel roll.
Oh, wow. So there you go. That's Nintendo for you. Moving right along, though, to I think it's safe to say our favorite console manufacturer, right?
Yep.
That would, of course, be Sony with the PlayStation 4. Ah, a trophy.
Yes.
Well, we'll see if Sony deserves a trophy for their press conference. They announced some really cool new services and features. There's a lot of them, so I'm just going to go through them. PlayStation Now, the PlayStation video game streaming service, will go into open beta starting July 31st. So that means anybody with a PlayStation 4 can jump on and start streaming video games, Rich.
That's crazy.
Over 100 available in the beta.
So it's supposed to be a Netflix.
Essentially a Netflix.
For video games.
Yes, a Netflix for video games. Now, there will be a pricing structure later on. They haven't really nailed that down yet, so there's not much to go on there. But just the fact that you can stream video games from past PlayStation libraries, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait to try it out. And after the PlayStation 4, it will roll out to PlayStation 3 and Sony Bravia TVs. So all you need is a DualShock 3 controller, and you can start streaming video games straight to your TV.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
You don't need a console.
Yeah. And eventually, once they go out of beta and they launch it officially, they'll take it to computers and mobile devices as well.
Wow.
So there you go. The whole back catalog could be opened up very soon for PlayStation fans. But moving right along to one of the biggest features of the next-gen consoles is the sharing functions. And PlayStation 4 got a huge announcement with this E3 in that you will be able to upload video directly to YouTube from the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, so that cool moment that happens in your video game, put it up on YouTube.
That's right. You just hit the share button, capture the video, and put it straight to YouTube. I mean, that's what everybody's been clamoring for. That's
yeah.
What everybody wants. And now they've got it. It hasn't come out yet, but I assume with the next update, it'll probably be available. Another big announcement, this is kind of cool too, is PlayStation TV. It's a little piece of hardware that Sony has released in Asia, but they haven't brought to America yet. But what this does is it hooks up to a TV, and it pairs with your PlayStation 4 and allows you to stream the PlayStation 4 content to another TV. So it's sort of like remote play, except you can play it on another TV, which I think is really cool. So
yeah.
Say someone is watching a movie in the living room. You can take your little PlayStation TV, plug it into a TV in the kitchen or your bedroom, and start streaming gameplay right there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So a lot of neat features for PlayStation fans. They also focused on a lot of exclusive things that only their version of third-party games will be able to do. For instance, PlayStation 4 fans get early betas for Destiny, which is being developed by Bungie, the former Halo dev, and Far Cry 4. So PlayStation 4 gamers can access the betas earlier than the other consoles. But speaking of Far Cry 4, this is really cool, Rich. Maybe something that we would have to check out. Apparently, if one gamer owns a copy of Far Cry 4, they can invite their friends to play online with them, even if their friend doesn't own the game.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it's not just multiplayer, co-op campaign.
Wow.
That's really cool. One copy of a game, and you can both play it online.
Boy, is that a spit in the face to like Xbox of like last year when they were saying like yeah. You have to buy new copies all the time.
All the time, yeah.
You can't use even a used copy of the game. Now yeah. PlayStation is like, we want this to be as extremely effortless as possible.
Yeah, it's open, user-friendly, and effortless. I think those are the things to take away from this announcement. But also, it reminds me of the old Game Boy days. Do you remember where you'd only need one cartridge of a certain game to play multiplayer?
Yeah, and you just needed the link to the other Game
Boy. And the link
Game
cable, yeah. I think some of the Super Mario Brothers games were like that on Game Boy Advance. I don't know if you played Game Boy Advance much.
A little bit.
But yeah, they had this thing where you would only need one cartridge because they understand that you want to share the game with your friends. It's not like that friend is going to play the whole game 24/7 off of your system. So you're not really losing money. It would be the same thing if your friend came over to play with you.
Right.
Right? So I think if more developers started implementing that, that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
So I would really like to see that in future releases. Here's something interesting, though. Sony actually released a game on the PlayStation Network during the show. They announced it. It was the first time they showed it, and then they said it's available now.
Right now.
Yeah, so I thought that was really cool. And that's something that can really be done during the digital age.
Yeah.
You know?
You couldn't do that before.
Yeah. Do you think this could be a trend for future years?
Yeah, why not?
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
You're watching the conference.
What better way to say, try our product than say, you can buy it right now?
Yeah, no waiting. We hyped it up.
Download
it
right now.
Yeah.
Bam.
I just thought that was really cool, sort of a surprise moment. Something that's not so surprising, though, was the fact that Sony announced The Last of Us Remastered for PlayStation 4, which is coming out July 29th.
That's cool.
Yeah, so all those people that were converted from Xbox, they now get to play The Last of Us in 1080p, 60 frames per second on PlayStation 4. That's
good
amazing.
Luck with that.
Yeah, you had a tough time with that game, didn't you?
Yeah. Again, too much stealth.
Too much stealth.
Sorry.
<yeah. laughs> It was a very nerve-wracking game.
Yeah.
Very stressful at some parts. So. Too intense, I think.
Good luck.
Yeah, and in 10p high definition, Rich, this
yeah,
time.
Good luck.
Maybe you should play it again.
No. One playthrough was enough.
Okay.
I'm not saying it was a bad game. I'm just saying it was really tough.
Yeah. No, it was a tough game.
Especially for non-stealth people like me.
But for all those that didn't get to experience on PlayStation 3, now they get a chance.
Yep.
One game that I know, regardless of how much stealth is in it, I know you're going to pick up, Batman Arkham Knight, Rich.
Oh, yes. Now we're talking.
Sony showed a gameplay video that was simply amazing. Everybody, you've got to go check out this video. It was one of the best moments of the entire conference.
I'm Batman.
Unfortunately, he didn't say that.
No!
No.
Why
not? I don't know.
I'm Batman.
He'll say it.
But not only did they show gameplay, but they showed Batmobile gameplay.
Awesome!
That's what we were talking about. How would it work in the open city? Because it's all of Gotham now.
Right. We've moved on from just a little prison to a section of the city that's blocked off.
Yeah, that second one
was weird. Prisoners took over it.
Yeah, that Arkham City was a little strange.
Yeah.
They sold part of the city to use as another prison or something. Yeah. I don't know what it was.
That's how many prisons you have.
Look, if you got that many prisoners, you've got big problems on your hands.
Yeah.
But now, apparently, they're taking over Gotham and you need the Batmobile. The gameplay was great. It was seamless. Batman jumping in and out of the Batmobile. You can launch out of it straight into a glide, like hundreds of feet into the air, which was really cool. You can transition to tank mode, it seemed like, and you could go side to side and shoot a giant cannon at enemies. But here's the great thing.
That's awesome.
This is going to be great for people that are not so good with finesse when it comes to driving in video games. You can plow through just about anything.
Awesome.
I was it really is awesome. I was watching the demo, and they were heading towards a stone set of stairs, and they had one of these big walls going down the middle, dividing the stairs into two parts. I'm like, oh, man, he's going to crash. He's going to wreck the car. No. The Batmobile hit that stone wall and crushed it as it drove straight up the staircase. It was amazing. Steel and concrete flying everywhere like nothing.
I'm Batman.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, I'm Batman. It doesn't matter.
All logic stops with that statement.
I'm Batman.
So, I mean, oh man, I can't wait to get my hands on that game.
Me too. It looks like a good game.
Yeah, unfortunately, it has been pushed back to 2015.
No!
But if it lets them polish it, I'm totally fine with it.
Okay.
I'm Batman.
Add that in there somewhere.
Well, that's why they pushed it back.
Yeah, they didn't add that.
Yeah.
Get on that.
I'm Batman.
You have to put that in there.
You have to. It would be great. And they also, during the Batman Arkham Knight gameplay, they had a surprise visit by a villain, if you will. They had a very interesting bit with Scarecrow, who was finally revealed for the game. I think it was Scarecrow. I'm pretty sure it was Scarecrow. Very, very cool. I don't want to ruin it too much, so you got to go out and check it out for yourself, the whole video. But definitely one of the highlights of the conference. Another highlight, though, was, of course, showing a short trailer of Uncharted 4 to close out the Sony press conference. And if you can imagine it, Rich, it looks a million times better than The Last of Us.
Really?
Yes. I swear it was one of the best-looking trailers I've ever seen.
Wow.
It was really impressive.
Yeah, and you're a big fan of Last of Us.
Big fan of Uncharted 2, but this just, the graphical fidelity just blew my mind. I mean, obviously the finished product won't look like that probably, but it looked amazing.
Wow.
So definitely something to get excited for. And also, the same game directors from The Last of Us.
Right, it's the same studio.
Same studio, yeah. But the same exact guys whose names I can't remember. But
Naughty Dog?
Naughty Dog, but the actual people that were in charge of The Last of Us are also in charge of Uncharted 4.
Oh, okay.
Now. Yeah. So it's going to be good stuff. Definitely something to check out. So there you have it.
Woo!
That was a really quick rundown of
everything that happened.
Of everything.
Woo!
There's going to be a write-up on the website, much more in depth, of all the conferences, including EA's conference and Ubisoft's conference. There's just so much to go over with
E3. Yeah, a lot happens in this E3 expo, but Mike, you did a good job wrapping everything up.
Thank you.
That was definitely a lot to cover.
Yes.
All right, but there you go. Woo! A lot of video game information because of that E3 event.
Video games tire you out, don't they?
A little bit, but you know what? There's something that will re-energize you.
Oh, what could that be?
We'll have some odd news coming up. And we've got... I'll tease this right now.
Okay.
We've got a hometown story.
What?
In our odd news segment.
Oh, gosh.
So are you ready to find out what is happening locally in the area that made it to the odd news?
I sure am.
Stick around. The non-fortune cookie odd news coming up. Don't go anywhere. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer.
For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Trash City Beads. The great bead store with the weird name. Selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at TrashCity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom. We are online only. Visit us at TrashCity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
We're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And Mike, you know what the next segment is, isn't that right?
I do. It is the wild, the wacky, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
In your face! Ha ha!
There you go. That's the way to kick off the non-fortune cookie odd news.
That's right. It's in your face.
In your face. Ha ha.
I don't think you'd ever do that laugh ever again.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I was doing.
In your face. Ha ha.
All right. Well, Mike, you want to explain how this works?
Of course. For those that don't know.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yes, we are in your face. This is the non-fortune cookie odd news.
In your face. Ha ha.
And on the odd news, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He keeps all the articles hidden from me. I have no idea what he's about to read, so my reactions are my gut reactions, my first time hearing these stories. So he's already laughing.
Sorry.
So it's going to be a good one. I can feel it. I'm always so excited and always a little anxious because it's always a surprise. We don't know what to expect.
Yep, you never know where the odd news will take you, so you want to just jump right in?
Let's just jump right on in.
All right, let's start off with this one. You know what? Let's start this off right. Let's do Florida.
All right. It's Florida, and they're crazy.
For those that are new to the podcast, we just always seem to have a Florida story in the odd news.
You know, we should have kept a tracker to see how many episode straight we've had a Florida
story. It's
probably
like 50 at this point.
Probably. I can't remember the last time we didn't have a story from Florida.
It's Florida and they're crazy.
Yep, we always have a Florida story.
So what is Florida doing this time?
All right. Brent Greer, who is a Florida resident who feels that he is being unfairly treated by a local code that's being enforced on his house, has decided to mount an unusual protest. So, in protest, Brent has decided to paint his entire house like the American flag.
America! 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 Yeah! Come out again to save the motherfucking day, yeah, America! Yeah! Freedom is the only way, yeah! Terrorists, your game is through.
Greer is upset that city code enforcement officers inspected his home back in February after an anonymous complaint said that he had a 15-foot-tall Christmas tree on his front porch that had fallen over.
Wait, you can call the city inspectors for that?
Apparently.
Okay.
Well, the code enforcement officer came to inspect his house. The officer went on to cite Greer for a list of violations, including a lack of screens on some windows, peeling house paints, various yard debris, rotted and loose wood, and a random car that was parked in his front lawn that hadn't been moved. We're talking about like hillbilly territory now.
I thought that was like the norm. I didn't know you could get cited for that stuff and, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just stop while I'm ahead. But so wait, what is painting his house red, white, and blue going to accomplish?
That's his protest, apparently.
How is that a protest? You were cited for peeling paint. You're just following their instructions. That's the exact opposite of a protest. Does he realize that? If he wanted to protest, he would have not painted. He would have left the peeling paint. This guy needs to look up protest in a dictionary.
Learn what the definition
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Well, Greer says that, quote, his 110-year-old home is not in perfect repair. He has said that he has made corrections but still disputes the original citation. He said to a newspaper, quote, it's just total government abuse. This is still America.
America. America. America. Yeah. Come out of here to save the motherfucking day. Yeah, America. Yeah. Freedom is the only way.
He also says there are no safety issues at my house. So the government should not be abusing this privilege of seeing my house. So there you go.
Oh, my gosh. This guy is...
Yeah, you might be right. Look up the definition of what a protest is.
Yeah. I love the fact that he's like, this is still America. What does that have to do with anything? Like, are you claiming you have a right to keep your house in disrepair?
Yeah, and then paint it.
And then paint it red, white, and blue?
No. Like the American flag.
Oh, like the American
flag.
Yeah,
the front of his house is the American flag.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, that's going to kill the resale value. It's a lovely property. It looks like the American flag.
It's painted in the American flag.
It's painted in the American flag.
Yeah, we're not talking about just the colors here.
Yeah.
It's an exact flag replica that he's painted the house in.
That's a little over the top, don't you think?
No, it's America!
That's right, it's America.
America! America!
I think that's the theme of this episode.
Between Glenn Beck and what else do we have? The FIFA World Cup. And now this guy.
America!
The theme of this episode is America.
Yeah.
America!
There you go. All right, you ready for our next story?
Yes.
All right, you know what? Let's get it out of the way.
Oh, boy. Is this the local one?
Yeah. I have to mention this one. This odd news story takes place in my hometown of Norristown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, no. So, all right. So, this is representing our area of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
So, how do we come across... in the national odd news spotlight.
A kinky couple who thought it would be fun to clown around with balloons had their sexual expectations blow up in their faces. That's the first line of the story.
Okay.
It's going to get worse.
All right.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Dr. Leonard Herman said that the clown couple came to the hospital in Norristown, Pennsylvania because the woman had breathing problems. They came into the hospital both dressed as clowns.
Oh, my gosh.
The husband said, my wife and I were in the heat of passion.
We're in the heat of passion.
Yep, as clowns.
Wow. I can just picture a clown saying that.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
He's like all serious and stuff, but he's got the face paint and a red rubber nose on.
Yeah.
We were in the throes of passion.
Honk, honk.
Honk, honk. Yeah. So while they were in the heat of passion, what happened these clowns?
The female clown said, quote, you can treat me like a balloon.
Okay.
It turns out that the female clown was, quote, a lunar, which is a term for people who are sexually aroused by balloons.
There's a term for that?
Yes.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
What was that to a lunar?
A lunar. Apparently this is a real thing.
Like L-O-O-N-E-R.
Yes, lunar.
Oh my God.
You're turned on by balloons.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
So the male clown decided to satisfy her desire by placing a balloon on her hoo-ha and blowing air into it.
Hoo-ha!
Of course.
Yeah.
Hoo-ha!
Woohoo!
This story.
Yep.
I can't believe that's a term!
Yep.
Okay, so well, everybody's got their thing. Everybody's got their thing.
But it turns out that the woman started having breathing problems. This is because that there might have been an air embolism caused when her partner blew into the balloon and her private parts.
An air embolism?
Yeah. Dr. Herman said that, quote, when an excessive amount of air is introduced into the hoo-ah and gets absorbed, it causes trouble to breathe. An air embolism is a potentially serious problem. It's almost the same as cutting off the circulation at a lung level, because air gets into the circulation and can lodge into the lung, where it can block normal flow of blood, which can cause serious problems.
So all this because she wanted a balloon near her, near her hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha!
Yep.
Wow.
Luckily, as uncomfortable as the woman was, it was not lethal. The balloon was able to come out of her.
So it was actually, it was inside.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the body absorbed the extra oxygen. The clown couple was able to go home that night.
Oh my God.
And this is Norristown, Pennsylvania.
This is Norristown. Wow.
My hometown. Thanks,
good job,
guys.
Norristown.
Thanks, clown couple.
Clown couple.
Who's turned on by balloons.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Lunars.
Lunars, yeah.
I can't believe that. They're clowns and lunars.
Yeah.
You got a double fetish going on there.
Yep.
What's the term for being aroused by clowns?
There's probably something.
There's probably something.
Yeah.
I don't want to look it up. I know we're good about our research, but I'm not looking that one up.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Mike does not want to be shamed into
I don't want to open my browser to that type of stuff. Wow. So clowns and balloons.
In Norristown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, boy.
Welcome to my hometown, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we have to offer.
Norristown, home of the Lunars.
Home of the Lunars and the Swiss cheese pervert.
That's right, the Swiss cheese pervert.
Yep, that was Norristown, too.
That's what I thought this story was going to be about. When you first told me, you're like, hey, we got a Norristown story. I was like, oh, man. It's about somebody putting cheese on their junk.
Nope.
No, this is about people putting balloons on their junk.
Yeah.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Norristown is just full of people putting things on their junk.
Apparently.
Wow. Cheese, then balloons. What's next?
I don't know, but
the saga must continue.
Yeah. We'll have the Norristown trilogy.
The Norristown trilogy.
Somebody will fulfill it. You'll watch.
Eventually.
Yeah.
It only took us 65 episodes to get two of them.
Right.
So
by the process of numbers, that's...
By the process of numbers.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got to have one sooner or later.
Yes. I think so. So Norristown, batting 1,000 so far.
There you go. Our local news story. Clowns.
Oh, wow.
Let's get back to some other odd news stories here. I'll do this one next. A 34-year-old male suspect wearing a wig, dress, and crotchless panties was apprehended on the roof of an Australian sex toy store early on Saturday morning.
Why the roof?
Cops say that he crashed through the ceiling of the store. When employees tried to apprehend him, he threw sex toys at everybody before exiting the store the way he came in.
Just big dildos flying every direction.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
The store's female manager came running when she heard the alarm go off. She said the man threw an assortment of sex toys at her and then vaulted up through the ceiling from whence he came.
How the hell did he get back up into the ceiling?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Police caught
up. That's pretty impressive, though.
Yeah.
He crashes through the ceiling and then just leaps back up there like a superhero.
Yeah.
But what was his goal? He falls into the store. He's like, oh, crap, I'm in here now. So
I might as well just go with it at this point.
I'm going to throw sex toys at people and then escape back through the ceiling. Why didn't he run out the door? Okay, here's my question. So I'm assuming he got to the adult store via car or maybe on foot. So here's the thing. His car would be parked outside on ground level, not back up on the roof. Why wouldn't he run outside the front door to his car and or down the street?
Because that's how he came in.
Because that's how he came in, so he might as well go out the same way.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Police caught up with him a short time later. The man faces breaking and entering and drug possession charges.
Well, there you go.
His name has not been released.
That's the answer to the whole story.
He was on drugs.
Oh, he was also in a dress, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that part of the story.
A wig, a dress, and crotchless panties.
Crotchless panties.
Yeah. I might as well go rob the sex toy store now.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Sounds like you just got back from the sex store. Oh, my gosh. I still want to know what he was doing on the roof. What was his plan? Was this like the middle of the day? If there were people inside there, was this during business hours? Like normal business hours?
Well, yeah, the store was open.
Like 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Crotchless panties and busting through the ceiling?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Oh, boy.
All right, ready for our next story?
Yes, we're jumping all over the globe here.
Uh-huh. We're, you know what, since we're on the topic of weird sex, I'll try and stick to it.
I was hoping you were gonna say while we're on the topic of Australia, but
no. And you know what, we're gonna go back to Florida in this
oh
one.
Oh my god,
another Florida one.
It's Florida and they're crazy. Wow.
So let's go with this one. A resident of a Florida retirement community was allegedly caught having sex outside with her younger lover, according to a police report. 68-year-old Margaret Ann Clem and 49-year-old David Boblia were charged with indecent exposure and disorderly conduct after being caught without their pants at the public square of the Villages. The Villages, which promotes itself as, quote, Florida's friendliest retirement hometown.
Well, it sure as hell is friendly.
Yeah. Has more than 50,000 residents.
50,000?
Yep.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of old people crammed into one place.
Yep. And some
of course
of whom,
they're going to get frisky.
And some of them who saw the the free peep show happening right in the middle of the public square.
Nice.
Right there.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
She must have had like an exhibition fetish or something, you know?
Yeah. America and fetishes, the two themes of this episode. Wow.
Well, Clem was also arrested without a shirt, and officials say that they both appear intoxicated at the time of their arrest.
Really?
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
I'm always surprised when they make that clarification. Like, by the way, in case you couldn't guess, that the old naked couple in the middle of a crowded square having sex, they were intoxicated.
Just an FYI.
Just an FYI.
Clem's arrest came 4 days after she had previously settled a prior criminal case because she was busted for a DUI when she pleaded guilty to reckless driving when she was driving a golf cart drunk. So
these old people, man, they're just wild.
This Margaret Clem is a crazy elderly woman.
She's you know, instead of a juvenile delinquent, this is a
elderly
delinquent.
Yeah, driving a golf cart drunk and having sex in the middle of the public square. What more do you want from an old lady?
You got to be careful with those old people. They're crazy. They're either going to run you over or pounce on you in the middle of a public square.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed, it was erotic.
So there you go.
Oh man.
More crazy shenanigans there.
Why are people having sex in, like, open public places?
Yeah, you can't get a room. Come on.
She obviously had a room there.
Yeah.
It was a retirement place, right?
Yeah.
She's an old person.
So go in the room.
What was wrong with the room?
It was too warm.
There's a bed there, though.
You know the elderly, they keep the room at, like, 90 degrees.
Oh, yeah. It's
probably
nasty.
Sweating the whole time.
Ugh, gross.
Come on out here, baby.
But it's Florida. You're sweating everywhere. How is outside Florida colder than inside Florida?
Oops. Florida logic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't make up excuses
it's
for these
too,
people anymore.
It's too hot inside. Let's go roll around in the swamp. It's Florida and they're crazy.
I don't know. I can't make any excuses for these Florida people anymore.
You really can't. It gets tough talking about them because they defy logic.
Yeah.
They defy reason. Oh, my gosh. Oh, so yeah. Florida. That's Florida for you.
Yeah. All right, ready for our next story
here? Of course.
I like this one. This one's a good story here. Actually, for those who don't know, last Friday was the 70th anniversary of the D-Day invasion.
Oh, yes, that's right, it was.
Yeah. And this ties into it. A British World War II veteran didn't let any advice from his nursing home medical staff stop him from storming the beach at Normandy once again. The 89-year-old okay. man, who was a Royal Navy officer helping out the American D-Day invasion 70 years ago, was originally told that he wasn't allowed to attend the Normandy commemoration ceremony in France this past weekend because of his ill health. So what did he do? He decided to sneak out and went anyway without the nursing home's consent.
Wow.
Badass.
That is the ultimate badass right there.
Yeah.
What was he, 89 years old?
89.
Man, living.
And he's sneaking out of the nursing home.
Well, you know what? He's living up to his military training.
He yeah.
just sneaks out of the enemy camp and crosses back into friendly territory.
As a result, the elderly veteran was reported missing the following evening.
Well, yeah. He disappeared.
Yeah. Whoops.
Whoops. It's bad when you start losing old people.
Yeah. Also, he's in Britain.
Yeah.
He's got to get to Normandy, France. So that's a, you know, he's got to cross the channel there.
Yeah, yeah. He's got to hop on some public transportation. Did he make it at least?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
An unnamed veteran that was joining him for the ride. So he had reconnaissance. He had help.
Nice.
An unnamed veteran decided to call to home and tell him that he was alive and well and that he was staying at a French hotel. Yeah.
That must come as a shock to the nursing home in Britain.
He's living the high life here.
Not only did they lose him, but he went to a different country.
Yeah.
Before they caught on to him. He's 89 years old. He's not exactly like Speedy Gonzalez over there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
The two decided to join hundreds of veterans that were acknowledging the 70th anniversary of the D-Day landings in France. Upon his return back home, the nursing home did not punish him and instead saluted him for his service.
Oh, well, rightfully so, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. He just wanted to be a part of the ceremony. Not only that, but he's such a badass.
Yeah, 89. I mean,
that's the best part.
And sneaking out with you guys didn't even noticing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And made it to a different country.
Yeah.
At 89. With health problems.
Don't you need, like, passports and visas and stuff like that?
I would assume so.
Because it's another country. This isn't like...
Yeah. This isn't going to a different town.
Yeah, this isn't like me going to Maryland or New Jersey or something.
Yeah, this is like a different country.
Yeah, don't you need passports for that?
I think so, yeah. But that's just how much of a badass this guy is.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. Probably yeah. snuck into France, too.
Yeah, France probably didn't even know he was there.
Probably swam across the channel. Crawled up onto the very beach that he landed on 70 years ago. And this guy is... He's just amazing.
Yeah.
Congrats to him, though.
So, there you go. 89 years old and heading back to France for one more time for D-Day.
Wow. That was a good story. All right,
so there you go. Great.
That was a good story.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah.
All right, ready for our next story?
Yes.
A Washington man who denied being high during an alleged attempt to snatch cash and donuts from a gas station sounds like he's full of it. Or the Holy Spirit, that is.
Did he try and use God as an excuse?
Anthony Stanley rear-ended a car in Tacoma, yelled at the other driver, then drove to a gas station.
Okay.
Stanley then demanded free gas and attempted to take two packages of donuts after admitting that he had no money on him. When the station's clerk locked the register, the 28-year-old lunged across the counter in an attempt to get the money. He also heard curse words and tossed objects in the direction of the clerk and a witness. A police dog was eventually able to locate Stanley and was arrested on the site. And he appeared to be under the influence of stimulants at the time. Despite his appearance and demeanor, Stanley kept telling police officers he was not on drugs, but rather he was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Good news, everyone.
They can't arrest the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It checks out.
Oh, man. All right. We understand. You can go home.
Yeah. Oh, he says he has the Holy Spirit. That means he's free to go. That's... Oh, man. Obviously, he was on something.
Yeah.
To think that he was, I don't know, possessed by the Holy... Can you get possessed by the Holy Spirit? You get possessed by demons, not the Holy Spirit.
Stanley said, quote, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. The officer can draw it. Can draw my blood as long as he wants to, but all he will find is that I am one with God.
What? What the hell does that mean? Can draw? What do you say? You can draw my blood?
Yeah.
And they're gonna find God in your blood.
Yeah.
Whoa. He's trying to tell me he's not on something when he says God's in his blood. And secondly, why does the Holy Spirit want free gas and two boxes of donuts?
Yeah, the Holy Spirit gets hungry.
Holy Spirit's got the munchies. What's the Holy Spirit going to do with donuts? Why, I mean, really?
Well, haven't you ever seen ghosts? That's why they're white. They're covered in donut powder. That's the Holy Spirit at work.
Oh my gosh.
You ever buy a tray of donuts for people at work and then you come back and they're all gone? That's the Holy Spirit at work. This isn't bad coworkers.
So you see that, people? You can now use the Holy Spirit for any excuses.
Yeah. Well, the cops did use his blood for a blood test.
Oh, and did they find God?
No, they found drugs.
Oh my God, that was great. Did they find God? No, they found drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what we were all expecting. Yeah. You know?
Well, after the blood test came back, Stanley was charged with attempted robbery, DUI, hit and run, and driving with a suspended license. So, sorry, Stanley, you did not have God and the Holy Spirit in your blood.
That was amazing. I can't stop laughing over that. Did they find God? No, they found drugs.
Good news, everyone. I do cocaine!
That would be more like it. All right, you ready for our next story here?
Yes. I don't know if it's going to compete with finding God in your blood, though. But what do you got?
Well, how about we just go to an amazing circumstance of luck?
Okay.
An Alabama woman was completely unhurt, even though she was run over by a train.
What? How's that possible? Trains are, if I'm correct, really big and really fast.
Yep. According to Auburn police, 22-year-old Lindsay Horn fell asleep on railroad tracks.
What? You know, she had God in her blood, too. Hey, wait, what are the events preceding that? You're just walking down the street, you're like, I'm really tired. I think I'm going to take a nap on the railroad tracks.
It looks like a comfy spot.
Looks like, yeah, all that gravel and wood and steel.
And iron.
Looks perfect. So she decided to take a nap on the railroad track. That's incredible right there.
Yep.
Wow. So, one, why? And two, what happened next? I'm assuming she got hit by the train next.
Well, according to Auburn police, 22-year-old Lindsay Horn fell asleep on the railroad tracks. But when the train passed over her, she was apparently very low to the ground, and the train passed right over her without hitting her.
Wow.
So she also must have been a very small lady, too.
Yeah, she must have been, like, in between the rails, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, you might want to use the rail as a pillow, like they did in Inception. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, was she trying to be...
I'm waiting for a train, but I fell asleep. That should be how the movie goes.
Wouldn't that really throw a wrench into the whole limbo thing?
What happens
if you fall asleep in limbo while waiting for the train?
We're waiting for a train. Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio is giving his whole speech. We're waiting for a train. We don't know where it'll take us. Hey, wake up over there!
if you're asleep while you get killed,
what happens?
Yeah, does it kneel each other out and nothing happens and you're still stuck in limbo?
You wake back up on the train tracks.
Yeah, what happens?
This is the worst dream ever.
Yeah, jeez.
So, all right. So, failed Inception lady was taking a nap and the train passed over her.
Yep. Police say that Horn's slight frame kept her from getting injured.
But why was she sleeping on the railroad tracks in the first place? These are the questions.
Well, don't worry. I've got your answer here.
Thank God.
Horn was charged with disorderly conduct for causing a disruption because the train had to be stopped and an ambulance needed to be called in case she was hurt.
But the train passed over her.
Well, they still had to check her out.
But the train was already gone.
Did we hit somebody? Was there somebody underneath that train?
Was there a tiny lady on the tracks, or am I imagining things? Why are we talking that way? Oh, God. I think I know who this is.
Yeah, Buckeye Chuck here.
Buckeye, what did you have to do with this story?
I was driving the train.
So now you're a train conductor, too.
Yeah, that's what I do in the 3 weeks that I haven't talked to you.
You got a license to drive trains.
Yes.
Wow.
It was a very quick procedure.
Apparently.
And I was driving this train, and there was some chick laying down. I thought she was a squirrel.
Thought she was a squirrel.
Yeah, so I just continued.
You didn't want to stop to make sure you didn't hit her?
No, I thought it was just a little squirrel. I hit dozens of squirrels all the time.
You're a monster, Buckeye Chuck.
No, I'm just driving the train. And before I knew it, it turns out my co-pilot said, hey, and I was a lady.
I think this is the longest conversation we've ever had, Buckeye Chuck.
Yeah, that bell keeps ringing. That's Buckeye Chuck.
It's 14 o'clock. The bell won't stop.
Buckeye Chuck was driving that train.
Yeah.
Well, here you go, Mike. Here's the answer to your question.
So why was she sleeping on the railroad track?
She was intoxicated.
Oh, of course. So, you see, she had gotten her veins, too.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God.
She was charged with public intoxication as well as the disorderly conduct for causing a disruption.
I love how she gets in trouble for almost being hit by a train. It's like, oh, thank God you're alive. Now here is your citation.
Yeah, congratulations.
Congratulations on not dying, and we'll see you in court.
And we'll see you in limbo.
I also want to make having God in your veins a euphemism for being intoxicated. So far, that's two stories.
Yeah.
Well, the one didn't have anything to do with God, but I forced it in there.
Well, go ahead. Try and use that as your latest.
I will.
Your latest drunk term.
Okay.
Apparently, you can survive getting run over by a train.
Who knew?
You see, the Holy Spirit was looking over her. There was an element of God in this. How did she not wake up, though? A train is roaring over her. Trains are really loud. They blow horns. They rattle. They scream and screech and squeal. And she didn't wake up?
Nope.
Talk about bumping your head when you wake up. Ouch.
All right, you ready for our next story here?
Yes.
An Illinois woman's desire for an alcoholic beverage got her tossed in the clink. Lydia Zer... Oh, one of these names. Lydia Zuridica.
Zuridica?
That's the best I can do.
Wow.
Lydia Zuridica has been accused of breaking into a stranger's home and demanding a beer from her.
You just kick down the door, and then you scream beer.
Beer!
Just that.
Beer!
Beer!
So I'm assuming she was already quite intoxicated.
According to Cook County Police, Zuridica.
Zuridica. Just call her Dicka.
Mike Dicka? Like Mike Dicka?
Mike Dicka.
It's Mike Dicka.
Mike Dicka's kicking down dressed in drag. With the mustache still.
Hey, wait a minute. This isn't Illinois.
Oh, my God.
It's Mike Dicka. His name is Zuridica.
Missouri. I bet you they're related.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, whoever this is, Lydia Zuridica entered the house through an unlocked door while the female homeowner was upstairs. The homeowner walked into her living room and allegedly saw Zuridica holding a beer that had been left out on the table. When asked what she was doing, Zuridica said, "I want more beer!"
Beer!
Just like that.
What made her think she could do this?
The homeowner screamed, and Zuridica fled the residence. The 52-year-old was charged with residential burglary charges and was held on a $100,000 bond because Zuridica has previous convictions for other residential burglaries and a criminal trespass to her residence. So apparently she's done this before.
So that's how she gets alcohol. She breaks into people's homes and demands it.
Yeah, so go get me beer!
Beer!
Just like that.
Why did she think that would be acceptable? Just to kick down someone's door and be like, give me beer.
Maybe it worked once.
It probably did.
You know? Well, I mean, how would you handle that? You walk back into your house and all of a sudden there's a crazy lady saying, I want beer.
I'd be like, fine, take the beer. Just don't. Yeah. Just, you know, honestly, at that point, you're dealing with a crazy intoxicated person. The best thing you can do is just to give them the beer.
Yeah, so that's what probably happened. Somebody probably gave her beer and she's like, I guess this works.
I guess this works.
Yeah!
We've had a lot of stories with people being intoxicated, although that's kind of normal for the odd news.
Yeah. Go ahead, have a drink. Just don't try and steal one or demand it from somebody while you're breaking into their home.
Yeah!
Oh, my gosh.
All right, and you ready for one more story?
Yes.
A North Carolina man is facing multiple heroin trafficking charges after he was caught with bags of heroin crammed in his belly button.
Holy crap. In his belly button?
Yeah.
Wow. How big of a belly button does he have? You might want to get that checked out.
According to Greenville police, their regional drug task force searched the vehicle that he was driving during a traffic stop and found over 150 bags of heroin and $1,200 in cash. One of the occupants, Randall Streeter, allegedly had another 40 bags of heroin all stashed in his belly button.
How the heck is that possible? I'm just impressed with this.
40 bags of heroin.
I mean, I don't know how big the bags are, but 40 of them, that seems like quite a bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm just amazed. I'm not even mad. This is amazing.
I'm not even mad.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Streeter also allegedly had crack and Percocet pills lodged in himself as well.
Now, where were those lodged?
Three guesses.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. Uh-oh.
Yep. He had them also in his cavity. That's how the...
His cavity.
That's how
quote-unquote cavity.
That's how this news article refers it as.
Well, that's the best way we've heard it referred to so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. They did a much better job than I did.
Mike's more direct.
Yeah. I don't mess around with political correctness.
Between all the people that were found in the car, they found 340 bags of heroin. The estimated value, $6,800.
That's it?
Yeah.
I thought it would have been a lot more.
Well, no, they're already like ready to go to sell.
Oh.
So you just hand the bag and you sell it.
Oh, right. That's just amazing.
And 40 of them were stashed right up his belly button, and the crack and the Percocet pills were lodged in his cavity.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
That's, you know what? That's one reason I don't think I could ever do drugs.
Why? You got to hide it up your butt? Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
Or the fact that it costs a lot of money.
I was going to say, A, it costs a lot of money, and B, you don't know where those drugs have been. They could be up somebody's belly button. That could be up somebody's ass. Jesus Christ.
That's true. That's pretty nasty. Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. Ugh. That's disgusting when you think about it. I mean, They're in little baggies, but still.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's gross.
Belly buttons can smell, too.
Yeah.
You ever go to, like, the gym and, like, you sweat a lot and, like...
You smell your belly button?
Yeah. It's bad. That could be one of... That could be 10 times as worse as an armpit.
Well, I hear that there's a lot of bacteria in belly buttons.
Right. You got to, if you don't clean it,
you got to clean your belly. Now we're giving them hygiene tips. All right, people, when you wake up, have a cup of coffee.
And clean your belly button.
Take the drugs out of your butt, then clean your belly button. Our listeners.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
Look, I don't know what you guys are doing. That's your own business. Oh, my
gosh. Clean your belly button.
Clean your belly button, yeah.
And don't stuff heroin in there.
Why do we need to tell people these things? Why do we need to remind them, don't stick heroin in your belly button or up your butt?
It's the way the world is, apparently.
Apparently.
And that's the way it is. That is this week's non-fortune cookie odd news. But you know what? You know, just like a lesson there that we've learned, there's other lessons that we've learned throughout this show. And the only way that we can wrap up all of those lessons is with this segment, What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned on this episode?
Oh, we learned a lot. As you just mentioned, make sure to clean your belly button and don't stick drugs up your belly button or up your butt.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Yeah, those are our hygiene hints for this week. We've also learned that cross-dressing Mike Ditka breaks into homes and demands alcohol.
It was in Illinois. It might be Mike Ditka.
It might be. We don't know.
Mustache and all.
Yeah. Speaking of cross-dressers, apparently it's a good idea to break into sex shops from the ceiling, and then when you make your escape, go back up through the ceiling.
Yeah, and throw the sex toys at everybody. And
throw the sex toys at everyone, yeah. That'll help in your escape. But that guy was intoxicated, just like many of the other people. So we learned that having God in your veins is now a euphemism for being intoxicated.
Yeah, all right. The Holy Spirit is in me. Stop judging me.
The Holy Spirit was in that guy, and the Holy Spirit wanted donuts and free gas.
Why do you think they call liquor spirits?
Oh, there you go.
Duh.
It all makes sense now. But what was the Holy Spirit supposed to do with donuts in the first place? That's what I want to know.
The Holy Spirit is white and needs all the powder.
All the donut powder.
Yeah.
It all checks out. We also learned that old veterans are badasses.
Yeah.
Escaping nursery homes and getting back to Normandy Beach in France. Wow.
Damn straight.
That's amazing. We also learned that lunar is a term for being turned on by balloons.
Yeah, and they exist in Norristown, PA.
Apparently.
Awesome.
Yeah, Norristown. Home of clown and balloon fetishes.
Thanks, guys.
Don't look that one up. We also learned that Glenn Beck is pissed off at us and stealing our segments. He's talking about coffee.
Yeah, if Glenn Beck is right, I'm apparently a communist.
That's right.
Sorry.
That's right. To Glenn Beck, coffee pots equal communism and Keurigs equal American.
Sorry.
So, there you go.
I like my pot of coffee.
You know what else we're apparently very passionate about is horse racing.
Yeah. We got very heated in that
one. We did get heated about horse racing. It's very strange. But we also learned that we're true Americans when it comes to soccer.
Yeah, we don't like it.
Unfortunately. But don't worry, because we can also fix any problem. We are Mr. Fix-It.
We're a jack of all trades.
Yes, that's right.
And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Woo! And there's the ending music. I guess it's time to wrap this one up. What a show, Mike.
Oh, man. Another great one. So much stuff.
Yep, but that's what we try to do. We try to pack in as much fun and informative things that we find in the news, and bring it to you in this two-hour podcast. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our official website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Crispy Noodle and like us on Facebook. Our username there is the Crispy Noodle. And check us out on our SoundCloud page for easy shareable clips, which feature 1 to 2 minute clips. Our SoundCloud name there is the Crisp Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Make sure to subscribe to our channel on YouTube as well. There you can find some of our favorite highlights. But most importantly, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. If you just search for the Crisp Noodle Podcast and subscribe, you get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your computer, your phone, your tablet, your MP3 player, and you can listen to us on the go, at work, at home, anytime, anywhere, the Crisp Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right, and if you want your first crack at each week's episode of the Crisp Noodle Podcast, check out the Blog Talk Radio page under Totally Driven Entertainment's website. That's where you can catch each week's new episode every Wednesday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. But if you can't make it during that time slot, don't worry. That's why we got the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. Tons of ways to get in contact and listen to the show. But if you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Twitter at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's how you follow us individually. So there you go. What a show, Mike.
Oh, man. E3 and horse racing and Holy Spirit, too. I mean, my gosh.
Yep. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Do a barrel roll.